السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، how many of you are married? Oh, mashallah. You shouldn't be here right now. So, by the fadl and grace of Allah, you know, we're talking about marriage here, and how nice it is that I actually just attended a walima a few hours ago. So, yeah, mashallah, it was a desi walima. They said 8 o'clock. I was there at 8:15. At 10 o'clock, dinner wasn't ready yet. I went to a restaurant and had dinner and make it here. That's a true story. MashaAllah. There's nothing, the best thing a person could do in life is get married. Right? Let's just start with that. The best thing that you could do for yourself is get married. But marriage in Islam comes with some rules. Right? And those rules need to be followed in order for our marriage to be successful. It's very, very simple. It's very simple. Parents have made, you know, I look around, I've been imam of a community for a number of years now, and I firmly believe that parents, I love you all, parents, I love you, but you have made it so difficult for people, for children to get married. Like, there's all these rules and guidelines, and then all of a sudden, you know, people say, well, you know, in Islam, marriage is difficult. No. In Islam, marriage is actually very, very easy. I have a template, a marriage certificate, and I only have room for two witnesses there. And sometimes Muslim families, you know, they see families, they'll say, no, there's got to be two from the bride's side and two from the groom's side. And I said, no, I just need two, period. And they said, Imam, you shouldn't have a certificate like that. And I reply to them and say, half of the time when I do marriages, I don't even have two witnesses. Like, I have to tell these couples to come to the masjid at a time of prayer so I can borrow two brothers to do their nikah for them. That's how easy a kitab and a nikah and a marriage is in Islam. That's the be. And we've taken our culture, we've taken all this baggage that we've had, and we just make it really, really, really difficult. And all of a sudden, this marriage of these two individuals that is supposed to come together on the basis of taqwa, on the basis of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has now become really difficult. And the same person that you were long to see and text message late into the night at the ISNA conference and do all these crazy things that you would do, all of a sudden, you don't want to see them anymore. That's why they created a movie called Sleeping with the Enemy. Right? That's pretty much... it's very simple. I have this presentation called Parenting in America and Parenting in the West. And the presentation actually begins by mentioning one thing very clear. That we are Muslims that live in the United States. And no matter how good or how good it is, we're actually here to live. We're not going back. Now, once we figure that out, I actually begin the presentation by what you look for in a marriage. There are certain things that we as Muslims are reminded to look for when we're looking to get married. And when we do get married, with the khutbah of the nikah, the khutbah of the kitab, reminds us of the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I usually like to give the example of marriages in the Muslim society. You know, we do a lot of good deeds, right? All of us prayed our salah today, inshallah. Yes, we prayed. You know, we've said salam to others. We've been smiling at everyone as we've seen them all day. Maybe not to some brothers, but yes. You know, we've been... And all this is like a bottle of deeds. And we're filling this bottle with a lot of good deeds. And in many families... When this bottle generally gets filled with a lot of good deeds, it generally overflows. The bottle's usually larger, and then when the marriage happens, we generally just chop the entire bottom off, and our deeds go down the drain, right? Because of all the complexities that our marriages have, Right? And we don't realize this sometimes, that marriage is the beginning of a new life. And as you take this very, very important step, we have to follow every rule there is in the book, because we want to make sure that this marriage remains intact until the end of time. But many parents feel that this is the one time where you can actually break the rules, because it's only happening once. And in reality, it's the time to make sure you do it right, because it's only going to happen once. Right? It's very simple. Right? If we take the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I love this example. You know, people talk about Muslims being backwards and whatnot, and I do a lot of kitabs, as many other individuals do, and I tell people, in the Islamic tradition, the woman doesn't have to wait to be proposed to. Right? In the Islamic tradition, if a young lady's family feels that there's someone that they're interested in, of course, along the proper methods and the channels, you can actually let them know of your interest. Now, call it proposing to them, call it what you want in your language. Right? But that's the reality of the situation. It's very, very simple. It just needs to be done right. Islam allows festivities. Islam allows a big party. You know, your parents want a big party, do it. It's called the walima. Right? It's the sunnah. It's the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, if we put all of these things in mind, our marriages will work out. But if from day one, we're all about breaking the rules, and, you know, this is okay, beta, and that's okay, beta. Beta, you don't understand. How many times have you heard that? I still get to hear that. You wouldn't understand. It's actually quite the other way around. No. You don't understand. Of course, you wouldn't say it like that to them. You know, you'd have to be respectful. But that's what it is. That's pretty much what it is. Khadija radiallahu anha sent a proposal to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because she found some qualities inside him. Right? She found some qualities inside him. And she decided that, I want to spend the rest of my life with this individual. I want to spend the rest of my life with this individual based on internal qualities. Right? The Shama'il tell us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very beautiful man. Right? He was very beautiful. Right? Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that, you know, if the people at the time of Yusuf, the women at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, would have seen my Prophet, my Nabi, my husband, they would have cut their hands off, let alone their fingers. Now, that's how beautiful the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. I mean, every woman's going to be biased. Yes, if you have a woman that's biased, it's the greatest thing in the world. But, you know, that's how she referred to her husband sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nowhere do you find that Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned the physical and the outer beauties of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? It was always his character, his qualities, his honesty. That's pretty much what it was. And people got married, and when they got married, things worked out. Because now, even if sometimes you had two different kinds of individuals that came together, things still ended up working out. And the reason they ended up working out is because they began the relationships on the right foundation. I was with an Episcopalian priest many years ago, and I told him I got married at the age of 21. I was just hardly 21 and I was married. It's the best decision I've made in my life. Right? It's like the best thing I've done in my life. And he was telling, this is an Episcopalian priest in Mountain View, California. And he goes, that's the best thing you could do. And I go, why do you, I'm a Muslim for God's sake. I totally understand that. You know, like my parents are like, yes, the kids are married, we can retire. Right? But like, what makes you say that? And he said, it was very interesting. He says that when young individuals get married, they really haven't set their ways yet. Right? They really haven't, their personalities are still not set. They're still trying to figure things out. And when they're young and they get married, they figure these things out together. And the older you get, the more you've sort of become yourself. It's harder to change as you get older. So for those of you that are thinking that your parents should change and they should change the way they do things, it's not going to happen. Right? The older you get, the tougher it gets. That's just the reality of the situation. But once we've figured that out, once you've gotten married, you know, you've come together. And I firmly believe this. I firmly believe this. Right? If we follow the rules and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will place barakah in all of our actions. And even if for some reason you've ended up with a spouse that may not be the most perfect person, you find out things about them that you really didn't want to know. But because you did it for the right reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the ability to change. Give them the ability to become better individuals. Give them the ability to become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason I mentioned this, and it's probably a good thing I went first, because this is what I wanted to focus on. Right? I do. Someone asked me, how many kitabs have you done? And my reply to them was, in the last 10 years, I have a photocopy of the marriage certificates I've handed out, and I have a 5-inch binder. That's my reply to how many kitabs I have done in the last 10 years. But I must admit, a lot of these marriages have ended up, you know, they're breaking. In fact, the day I left, yesterday I left home. It was yesterday. There's a sister in my office, and the first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock, right? Someone I had married about 5 years ago, and they're breaking up. And some of these issues are very, very petty issues. Right? And Islam is amazing. You know, we think Islam is a boring religion. Islam allows romance. You know, we have this thing like, before marriage, there's some things that you can't do. You know, you can't do some stuff before you're married. And it's like, all of a sudden, even after you're married, there's so much that you don't do. You know, like, after you're married, you can actually buy chocolates and roses and go out and have fun. No, seriously, people don't do that. Like, I ask half of the married individuals, I'm going to tell you a funny story. I have a lot of stories. My wife is in Canada right now, mashallah. She's a great lady. She's a great lady, mashallah. And last Saturday evening, my in-laws, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, myself, and I, you know, my wife, my kids, we went out for dinner. And, you know, it was a buffet dinner. We went and got dinner. And we had a mutual friend with us as well. And as we were getting done with dinner, my father-in-law actually got up. He went to the back and brought my mother-in-law dessert. And, you know, like, all of a sudden I noticed that, like, mashallah, you know, they're like 30 years into the marriage. And we don't do that. Generally, the husbands just sort of sit around with their big bellies by the time they're 60. And, you know, they expect their kids and their wives to do stuff for them. I mean, honestly, it's just, and we think that it's culturally okay. Or sometimes people feel like shy to do certain things. Like buying your wife roses. Like you feel shy. What's there to be shy about? Find out what your spouse really likes. You know, my wife's figured me out. She knows I love to eat. And she's just cooking me great stuff all the time. It just means I just have to buy her a lot of clothes in return. But that's okay. It works out. It's a great deal. It works. As long as it works, it's okay. But that's what it was. We find specific, if we look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, like there's specific examples, right? The Prophet ﷺ's life was an open book. Some of the Sahaba asked some of the funniest, weirdest questions to the Prophet ﷺ. But it was that one single question that was asked to the Prophet ﷺ that the entire mankind benefits from. They were a mercy for us. Right, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we look at the traditions of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, he was really cool and chill with his wives. This whole thing about I'm the man of the house, right? Husbands, if you're a husband, you know, and I speak about myself too. Okay, if you're a husband and you want my report card, you know who has my report card, right? My wife. Your wife has your report card. Right? And the same goes for the wives too. Don't get all happy, sisters. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. Remember, these are two individuals. You've come together. And inshallah, you will be together until the end of time. Right? Figure out what your spouse likes. Figure out what they dislike. Right? I mean, there's, and I know Sheikh Yasir is going to touch on this, so I won't even touch it right now. And yeah, but you know, there's things that we can do. Like we're people who sometimes feel like, oh my God, to talk about certain things in Islam is a taboo. Now I understand there's some young children here, and you'll be asked to leave after a little while. But you know, Islam is a fun religion. Islam is a, you know, there's a book. I forget the name of the book. It's the big red rose on it. Mufti Muhammad's book. What is it? Etiquettes of Sexual Relations in Islam. Like all these young... Yeah, don't give me those faces. We're humans. You know, young kids, when they come to me to get... You know, they're about to get married. I tell these young brothers and sisters, buy the book and buy two copies. Get one for your spouse too. In fact, if you're married, if you're married, I urge you to go and get it. Even if you're married, I urge you to go and get it. Like, Islam is great. And a lot of these problems, you know, like all of a sudden people start drifting away. People start drifting away. And they're actually okay with it. Right? They're actually okay with it. And then people look to fulfill their desires and their lusts in areas which are not acceptable. Right? Areas that are totally not acceptable. Haram. And we deal with this in our societies. But all of a sudden we sort of sometimes tend to overlook it and pretend it doesn't exist. But it exists. It's the reality of the situation. Find out what we can do to get these people to stop doing these haram actions. Right? It's okay. Islam is a fun religion. And we have to tackle these problems firsthand. Right? And sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes people are shy. Sometimes people don't want to talk about it. But we need to talk about these things. If you don't get along with your spouse, talk to them about it. Let them know what your expectations are. Let them know what your expectations are. And you know, this whole man thing, get over it. Just get over it. You know, I've had brothers that come to me. They've beat their wives, unfortunately. And then they say, Sheikh, Allah says in the Quran, you can beat your wives. Like, are you kidding me? Like, are you telling me you actually beat someone because the Quran told you? No, you beat her because you were angry. And then now you're just looking for a loophole. And you just found a loophole without realizing what you need to do before you go through all of this. And for those of you that are thinking that you can beat your wives, this is not beating. I mean, there's different tafsir that mention different things. But you know, this is more like sort of, you know, your friend sort of nudging at, you know, if I go to sleep right now, Sheikh Yasir may just nudge me and say, hey, wake up, brother. You know, it's just sort of, but there's steps that we need to take. We can't be abusive, right? In the cultures that we come from, people are verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, physically abusive. All of this put together tears down marriages, right? Tears down. And sisters, don't think you're the only oppressed ones, right? Sisters generally are not physically abusive, but they're just very good at being verbally abusive, right? That's why they say, there's a joke, say, you know, my wife and I've had a very successful relationship. We go out for a candlelight dinner every week, ever since we were married. Now that's sweet, right? Every week, go out. She goes on Tuesdays, I go on Thursdays. You know, it can't be like that. Even, and especially, people generally tend to start drifting away after they have children, right? Children is something that should bring you closer. Right? Children is something that should bring you closer. But the intimacy that is between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife, these are things that are allowed until the end of time. Right? That's why I like to mention that when marriages begin, they begin on a lot of passion. But the ultimate goal is to take it to compassion. Right? That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, right? It begins with passion, but ultimately we take this and take it to compassion. right? Where we honestly and truly care for the other individual. You're not necessarily saying, honey, I love you because they look great. Like you're able to say, honey, you know, your wife has just woken up in the morning and she looks like a monster with all her hair and, you know, running around, sandwiches, kids, and everything. And you're on your way to work and you're still able to look at her and just recognize everything that she does for you and your family and your children. And, you know, just the sincerity. And look at her in the eyes and say, honey, I love you. Right? That's what we really need. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and protect us and ease our affairs. And for those individuals that are married, I pray to Allah that may Allah make you and your spouses love each other and be content with each other until the end of time. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. For those of you that are not married, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you with good, decent, pious, good looking, six pack, internally and externally good qualities, that you be happy and content with them and they be happy and content with you until the end of time. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.